Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters, isn't it? And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Coming up this hour on the show, we'll talk Packers and Rams from yesterday. We'll talk two Lions in winter, Cam Newton and Big Ben looking ugly yesterday. And just to finish off my thought on the San Francisco 49ers, with the win over the Vikings, big win yesterday because it puts the 49ers over 500. It puts them now one full game clear of the final playoff spot. 5-6, the Vikings, the Falcons, the Saints are all tied. And gives them the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Vikings for the final one. So that's all big. But also that the 49ers are starting to turn it around by running the football effectively, playing better defense, winning games at home. All things they didn't do very well early in the year. And now the NFC playoff race has the 9-2 Cardinals as the one seed, the 9-3 Packers as the two, the Buccaneers as the three seed, the Cowboys as the four seed after their ridiculous home loss to the Raiders on Thanksgiving. Your first wild card, the 7-4 Rams, who have lost three straight. Then the 6-5 Niners, who are definitely playing their best football right now. That's three straight games in which the offense scored 30 points or more. And a defensive effort yesterday that gave up 26 points, although a touchdown of that came on the special teams return, 99 yards. Then, fighting for the final playoff spot of the NFC, Vikings, Falcons, Saints, Eagles, Panthers, Washington, Giants, Bears, all sub-500 dreck. Yesterday with Rams and Packers, there's no doubt it is time to be alarmed by the Rams. When they lost to the Titans, who had lost Derrick Henry at home, Stafford turned the football over twice deep at his own end. It was head-scratching. But you figured, okay, that's the wake-up call a 7-1 team needed. They then hit the road to go to San Francisco to take on the Niners, where the Niners hadn't won
all year and had been terrible going back to last year. They were 1-9 going into that game at home over the last two seasons. And the Niners took the Rams behind the woodshed and beat them up bad. Whoa, that went to concerning. And then yesterday, it's a Rams team that traded two ones for Jalen Ramsey and two ones for Matthew Stafford and traded picks for Von Miller. This is a team that went in for Odell. This is a team that has said Super Bowl or bust, and now they've lost three straight games. It absolutely is alarming. It absolutely is alarming. And for all of the talent that they have, for all of the money that they've spent, for all of the money and the expectations and the draft capital that they laid out for this team, it is unacceptable to have a three-game losing streak.
Rodgers in the shotgun, Dillon to his left. Snapped A-Rod in the pocket, dumps it over the middle. He's got Dillon, breaks a tackle to the end zone. Touchdown! Troy Reader could not bring down A.J. Dillon. And the Packers extend the lead to 26-17.
I like where we're at. I like our football team. This is shaping up. You know, we got some more home games down the stretch. These are the type of winter games, you know, where we can and have effectively thrown the football.
So that was Packers radio on the call, and that was Aaron Rodgers after the game. Packers move to 9-3 with the win. I don't know if the Packers are the best team in football yet, and I don't know if they're the most balanced team in football yet. But if they're not, they're damn close. I think at the moment you have to remove the AFC teams. Patriots are playing remarkably well. Six-game win streak. They're well-coached. They're balanced. They're getting good production out of a lot of places where you might not have heard of. They're not household names, but they're getting good production there. They're smart. They don't turn the football over, and they turn you over. All definite ways to win games in today's NFL. But I still think the Patriots are a weight class below the best of the NFC. I think for what the Patriots are doing, it's remarkably impressive. But again, they need you to make mistakes often, and yesterday the Titans did, to capitalize on them. I don't know if just hands on the ground, 60 minutes, I don't trust the Patriots yet against the three best teams of the NFC, the Cardinals, the Packers, the Buccaneers. The Ravens lead the AFC right now by a half game over the Patriots. I definitely don't consider the Ravens to be the best team in the NFL. If they get the one seed of the AFC, they're super dangerous. Lamar Jackson, they're super dangerous. They've got young, speedy, good linebackers, as they always seem to do. And, you know, they have found ways to win because they're properly coached. It's what John Harbaugh does. It's kind of like Mike Tomlin maybe before this season. You find ways to win. But last night, the effort by the Ravens, the effort by Lamar Jackson is really problematic because he struggled the entire night to throw the football. He wasn't dynamic with his legs. It was difficult to watch, and he was sloppy with possessions. You know, to throw all of those INTs, possession after possession after possession, when the game is in the balance against a division foe, that's not good. So Lamar can be brilliant and scintillating and beautiful to watch. Last night, he definitely wasn't. And against a better team with a better offense, they lose that football game. You can't throw that many INTs and win the game. But because the Browns are broken and the Browns' offense is awful, they got away with it. The three best teams in the NFL right now, I believe, are all in the NFC, the Cardinals, the Packers, or the Buccaneers. And I know the Buccaneers have had some head scratchers, the game against Washington. But overall, I just think when it's winning time, the Buccaneers know how to win. The Buccaneers are led by the greatest winner ever. And the Buccaneers have enormous talent on both sides of the football. And having done it last year, it has set them up for whoever they play, wherever they play them, they definitely know they can win that game. I think the Cardinals have clearly elite talent playing together really well. They complement one another really well. I would say the Kyler Murray in a playoff game question is a legitimate question, because Kyler Murray has gotten injured. Kyler Murray takes a pounding. Kyler Murray's undersized, and he hasn't been there before. And it's hard for a young quarterback that's never played in the playoffs to suddenly run the table. Really hard. You usually need a couple of times to feel that intensity, to feel that pressure, to understand what that is all about. So betting on the Cardinals with a team that hasn't played together in the playoffs to win a Super Bowl, not sure I can really feel great about that. Which leaves me with the Packers. And look, when Rodgers is doing what Rodgers did yesterday on a bum toe, and he's going to get a week off now with the bye, and Devontae Adams is one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in football, and now both Jones and Dillon have provided you a really solid two-man backfield where if Jones isn't the slasher, then Dillon is the workhorse and the power back, or vice versa. Combined with a defense that seems to be getting better by the week with young guys that are growing up pretty quickly, that's a damn good football team. And I know we talk Rodgers, understandably so. Rodgers is one of the most fascinating players ever to play the game. He's brilliant to watch. He's a genius from a quarterback situation, yet he hasn't won a great deal. So there's always this, like, what was it about his career? Bad coaching, the Mike McCarthy thing. Is he difficult? Is he like a brooding intellectual? Is he too smart for the position? All these types of things. We talk so much about Aaron Rodgers, we don't talk enough about Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur has gone to back-to-back NFC Championship games and is once again 9-3. In 3 years, Matt LaFleur's never had like a bad month. He's never had like a three-game losing streak. In 3 years of the helm, Matt LaFleur has delivered. And I'm not saying he doesn't have talent. He does. He's got a wonderful quarterback. But LaFleur has gone to back-to-back NFC Championship games. And if he doesn't do it again this year, it's going to be a massive disappointment. The Packers are good enough to win a Super Bowl. And he's not flashy. He might not have... He's still in the shadow of Aaron Rodgers. It still feels like it's Rodgers' franchise. But very clearly, the Packers know what they're doing. They're usually buttoned up. They're usually tight. They're usually ready. And yesterday against a Rams team that was desperate, you know, they jumped out to the early lead. They held the early lead. And they salted it away late. And I thought they mixed the run and the pass well. Again, defensively, they're getting better. Almost every week, they can get after the passer. They can turn the football over. Good young DBs. It's a super dangerous team. If they're not the most balanced team in football, they're pretty damn close. And you know, the thing about the Derrick Henry injury is that it took the Titans out of winning a Super Bowl. You know, it's harsh to say, but that Titans team had the potential to get to the Super Bowl because Derrick Henry was so unstoppable and their defense was figuring it out. You can't say that anymore because you can see what it means. They tried Adrian Peterson. They cut him within 3 weeks. You put too much on Ryan Tannehill's plate against a good defense like the Patriots. He completely melts down and implodes. Like, it sucks, but that injury took the Titans out of Super Bowl contender status too. They can get to the playoffs. Maybe they can win a game of the playoffs. You can't win a Super Bowl. That team is just not ready right now to win a Super Bowl. Mraz, if you were doing an NFL power rankings, who do you feel best about coming out of the weekend?
I mean, I still, I'm not going to punish them off the bye. I think I believe a little more in Arizona than you do, specifically because of the way they were handling their business 2 out of 3 games with Colt McCoy, and the fact that they did go toe-to-toe and felt like they were due for a loss when they went up against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So I would still lean the Cardinals as my number one. And I think I lean even harder that way because it feels like the Rams really aren't going to threaten them at all for the division, which I think is really critical. And my number two would be the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I think that Thursday night game you saw between those two teams felt like a really good look into what could be an NFC championship game. But laying in the weeds are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number three for me because, I mean, how could you discount Tom Brady? I'm done discounting him. I came back to bite me in the face last year. It bites us in the face year in and year out. But they have major holes, a lot more holes on their defense, specifically their secondary, than they did a year ago. And I think it's those three teams, and everybody else from that point forward is a cut below those three teams.
Imagine the NFC playoffs where Cardinals are your one and Packers are your two, and let's just say the 3 seed is the Buccaneers, the 4 seed of the Cowboys. That would set up at the divisional round potentially if your home teams win. Cowboys at Cardinals, Buccaneers and Brady going back to Lambeau, rematch of last year's NFC Championship game. Nobody in Green Bay wants Brady back in that building.
Oh, That would be hysterical. And honestly, either one of those potential second rounds for Green Bay would be great, right? Either Brady haunting them or here comes Mike McCarthy to face Aaron Rodgers if it was the Cowboys in that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spot, You get some real spicy stuff going on in Lambeau in the postseason at that point.
Spicy. When we come back, Cam Newton and Big Ben. Oof, they're looking rough. Which one's sadder? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
Gesicki in motion, back to throw. Tua fires, touchdown, Miami. Waddle snuck into the end zone, and Miami makes the Panthers pay for the interception.
You know, we just have to find ways to sustain drives and stay out on the football field. You know, and anybody, defensively, offensively, you know, it's just about wearing down. You know, offensively, we wore our defense down.
Big Ben catches the shotgun snap. Short drop, throws, and it is intercepted. Running it back to the house for the touchdown. Mike Hilton against his former team intercepts Ben Roethlisberger's pass and runs it into the end zone. Cincinnati is embarrassing Pittsburgh.
It's kind of those ones that you can, you know, I know that we have to come in tomorrow and we're going to meet and talk about it. To me, there's not a lot to talk about. We got our butt kicked and it is what it is.
Dolphins radio on the call. Bengals radio on the call for Cam Newton and Big Ben. Ooh, that was ugly. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate your patronage. Remember that the DA show is available in podcast form. Check us out by searching the DA show on your favorite podcast platform and also subscribing, rating, and reviewing it. That helps other people find it. It's both. Both situations are very sad. The Pittsburgh Steelers are kind of dead men walking. They can win some games, keep themselves in the playoff race, but ultimately you know that they are mortally wounded. Their offensive line is just not good enough to protect Big Ben. They can't run the football effectively enough. They're ranked in the bottom six or seven in rushing the football. And Big Ben's not good enough anymore, strong enough anymore, young enough anymore to make things happen with his arm and his body. And so it's treacherous. And yesterday, the Bengals just swept them, embarrassed them, humiliated them. And because the Steelers are the Steelers, they'll play for a playoff spot in December. They'll play games that could mean this and could mean that. But ultimately, you know that they're just not good enough to do anything this year and that this is Big Ben's swan song and the Steelers don't have anybody in waiting and they have some massive changes that have to happen for them to get back to being a Super Bowl contender. But Big Ben's also 39 years old. We kind of knew he was creaky and everything was going to have to go right for the Steelers to really contend. And he actually hasn't been as bad as you would think. You know, his touchdown to interception ratio going into yesterday was 13-4. Not bad. He's thrown 2,500 yards or so. It's not terrible. He'll end up with 3,300 yards. Not terrible. To me, what's more sad is Cam Newton being benched yesterday. Because Cam doesn't realize it's over yet. And that's, you know, it's like an old actor or actress that gets the face tuck and you're like, oh. Trying to stay young, trying to stay relevant. You know, you see him at the Oscars like, ooh. That's Cam. Cam came back, threw that touchdown. I'm back. I'm back. Point of the stands. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. Man, if you watched it yesterday, he was not back. He was awful. Matt Rhule says, well, we weren't protecting the quarterback. You know, no reason if we're not going to protect Cam Newton. Man, that ain't about the offensive line. That's about a quarterback that is washed and has been washed for 2 years. Let's go through the timeline. Panthers say, we're good. Only team that says that we've got a job for Cam Newton, the Patriots, who had a wide opening. Cam Newton, terrible last year. The Patriots go to 7-9. Note this year, they're one of the best teams in football. Last year with Cam Newton, 7-9. In the offseason, Cam Newton loses the job to Mac Jones. The Patriots release Cam Newton. Nobody in the league wants him. The Panthers don't want him either. The Panthers' quarterbacking is so bad with Sam Darnold. Ultimately, they're like, okay, I guess we'll go back down the Cam Newton road. His entire contract's incentives. It's all incentives. Nobody else wants him, and he's back to being garbage. Man, your last 2.5 years tells you all you need to know about Cam Newton. It's over. It's so over. And unless they can find simply a run-based offense where Cam Newton just uses his body as a big body to break tackles, to get first downs, and, you know, it's not about throwing the football downfield, this is going to be it for Cam, and Cam's going to get back to the offseason. Nobody's going to want him again. He's going to be back on the job market, and it's over. You know, and the Panthers are not bad enough to be totally out of it, so they're going to keep trying to prop him up and put him out there. and it's not going to make a difference. I'm sorry, Mraz, but this is a Cam Newton that went 7-9 with Bill Belichick last year, lost his job to a rookie, didn't have any takers when he got cut by the Patriots, and now has been benched for P.J. Walker, Texas Ranger. That's it.
There's no doubt it's
That's
it.
A clean sweep.
And also, his back moment didn't even happen with him starting. It happened to him coming in for select red zone plays.
Two plays.
If you're going to be back, you got to be the starting quarterback and back for 60 minutes. They lose last week, and he's uncompetitive on the field yesterday. P.J. Walker, Texas Ranger, surviving spring football, and he's the starter. And in a weird way, Cam Newton, by stinking again, might be reviving Sam Darnold's career because it makes Darnold maybe look like, well, Newton looks this bad with the offense. Maybe it's the Panthers that are broken.
Cam Newton went 5 of 21 yesterday for 92 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of 5.8. To put that in perspective, Tua Tagovailoa yesterday only threw for 230 yards, 1 touchdown, and Tua's quarterback rating was 108. In that game yesterday, Tua had a QBR of 108. Cam Newton had a quarterback rating of 5. 108 to 5. P.J. Walker threw for 87 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick, and his QBR was 40. So right. To give you some 35 sense.
35 points higher.
That is one of the single worst quarterback games of the last 10 years in the NFL.
It's a disgrace.
It's over.
It's over, yes. And by the way, this was a team in a playoff race. He could have been the savior. Everything could have worked out for them. And if I'm P.J. Walker, by the way, screw Matt Rhule. You know what? You didn't believe me enough to bring in Cam Newton. You couldn't rate the rush to start him. Now, 2 weeks later, you need me to rescue your ass? Come on.
There ain't no rescuing either one of those guys. Earlier in the week, or earlier in the morning, rather, I had put up the headline, Soggy Frank, for Frank Reich, calling 26 straight pass plays, even though he had a 10-point lead, and Jonathan Taylor. And that led to 2 turnovers by Carson Wentz, 14 points the other way by the Buccaneers. Colts lose. And everybody killed me for this on Twitch. The staff didn't understand why I did it. Nobody understands what a Soggy Frank is. I wanted to play off of Frank Reich's name, but I couldn't really think of a good way to describe an unappetizing dog, hot dog. Okay, Mraz, we got some suggestions from the listeners. You ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. Dirtbag says, how about Franks and Punts?
Instead of Franks and Beans?
Yeah.
All right, again, I don't love it, but I think that's better than Soggy Frank.
Wow, Franks and Punts? Whew. Oh, boy, I guess it was bad. Daniel tweets, I call a bad hot dog a not dog.
Oh, that's good. But would anybody get that with reference to Frank Reich?
No. Cool Mark tweets, how about Frank Farter?
I like that one.
But what's the fart?
That he stunk. He went...
Okay, so that his play calling stunk.
Yeah, he was a Frank Farter.
Daryl tweets, how about more wrong than Reich?
Okay, so that's nice, but as you would say, too wordy.
Too wordy. For a headline, too wordy. Daryl also suggests cold Franks.
I don't lie. That's soggy to me.
That's what I'm saying. Robert tweets, Jonathan Taylor was not involved for 26 consecutive plays, leaving him isolated from the offense. How's Jonathan Taylor left on Rikers Island?
All right, nice maybe headline in a newspaper.
Too wordy, but you could do Rikers Island.
You
was,
could.
Was Taylor left stranded by Frank?
That's not bad, but like, do people outside of this area know Rikers Island?
Good point. And Chuck tweets, I think it's time for a year of the Schwartz compilation. He gives us almost as much gold as Mraz.
You know what? I would love that. Let's get rid of the Year of the Buffoon. Well, no, let's keep Year of the Buffoon, but he's the buffoon.
Thursday, Monster Jam.
I got a candidate for the 12 DAs, okay?
The 12 DAs begins. 12 DAs begins on Thursday with the first four out, the Dayton games. We have compiled the top 12. The votes are in from the staff. And I want to, at some point before the 12 DAs airs on Thursday, to play a series of clips on the show to remind everybody of some of the great moments of the year. So I want us to have maybe tomorrow or Wednesday just a memorial show, a commemorative show of all these hysterical moments, because we were talking about how it feels like we had 2 years of content this year. When you tallied the votes, I saw some responses from some of the guys. Wow. Whoa. No way. Did you find the results surprising, shocking?
Yes. Yes, I did. Because I would say this. There were several people on the show who had maybe five candidates that ranged anywhere from number 4 to number 10, let's say, on their list, that others had completely off their list. Mm. Which made a lot higher cumulative score number in my algorithm to come up with the 12 DAs. Absolutely. People were very much all over the map, except for a couple of the ones in the top range where, whether you had them in the exact position they will fall, they generally belonged in that area, according to everybody.
I think what you have here is a lot like an NFL power rankings right now. We can all agree, Cardinals, Packers, Buccaneers, the three best teams. You know they're three. The three best are three of the best.
Yes.
Everybody's 4 through 15 could be completely different, though. Some people like the Patriots. Some people like the Chiefs. Some people like the Titans. Some people like this team, that team, the other thing. You could go anywhere with a 4 through 15. That's what I feel like here. I think the top 12, it's like number 1, number 2, number 3, kind of inarguable. Once you get to 4 to 12, everybody had a different sense of 4 through 12. Yeah. I'm seeing some of these, and I'm like, there's no way. I didn't rank that high, but you know, I think people will say that. Everybody will say that about somebody, some of these between 4 and 12.
And it should be noted, on my home laptop currently, I have a spreadsheet with everybody's picks and comparisons next to each other in picks. Mm. So that could be on a PGP or something. Mm. We can get into some heated debates. I could also tell you, as a side funny note, it appeared Pete the Body just tried to make up his own rules on voting.
Oh, wow.
As well.
How so?
Well, I could tell you.
What I do.
I will tell you that.
You got trash before.
I will. Now tell me if you guys agree. This made it very hard for me. There are two things that separately, didn't even happen in the same month, made the 12 DAs of Christmas, that Pete the Body, without anybody telling him to do this, voted them as a combined number one and said, just combine the two. Now, that's not generally how the 12 DAs work. You have to maybe have that discussion with everybody and don't just assume we're all doing that.
So he took two different moments and combined them into one moment and said, this is my number one.
And that's your number one, which again, you can't do.
Oh, sorry. I had an idea. I apologize.
But no. But what I asked, but no. This is a very complex system, making it more complex.
Complex system. You're putting clips in order. How's that a complex system?
You're whittling down 41 to 16 and then cutting them down. Bottom line is this. Unless everybody's in lockstep on things being combined, you just have to vote on the numbers straight and then have that argument after.
So what'd you do? You took Pete's combined number one, number two, and just made 1-1 and 1-2?
Yeah, and then basically his number 12 got bumped out as a first four out. That's the only way it could go about it, because clearly he felt they were both worthy enough for a number one.
Okay.
Would you agree with that handling of that process?
That's probably how I would have done it, yeah. Now, I don't know how you decided which one was the one and which one was the two.
Oh, I went with which one garnered more first-place votes from other people.
Style points.
Style points, exactly.
Let me tell you, Thursday's first four out first candidate is a great moment. It's already like, what a way to start things off. That moment, which is ostensibly 16, basically.
Yes.
Is a great moment. Is like, it's laugh out. That was one of the ones I was laughing out loud re-listening to. And that's going to be number 16.
It's going to be number 16. And by the way, usually we would do the first four out in any kind of order, but we had such a crazy voting system that I went in order of where what garnered the total cumulative votes. So that was legitimately number 16.
Also, there was some concern by Bogish that this was perhaps too much year of Mraz. It was fatiguing. I think when you look at the 12 DAs and how we ranked them, how we voted on them, it's not over-the-top Mraz. I think what we see is, you know, there's good gaps. There's a Mraz here, you wait three spots. There's a Mraz there, you wait two spots. It's not like Mraz, 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 Pete, Mraz, Mraz, DA, Mraz, Mraz, Mraz.
I don't know. I'm looking at the list right now, and I see 9 of 12 that star Sean.
Yeah, but I will say that a lot of them are more the entire show having fun, and some of that isn't necessarily just me being me. It's at my expense at times.
Yeah.
So I think I get what DA is thinking, because I even tried to be conscious about that with voting.
No, I think that a lot of those that you're talking about, the 9 that might have Mraz heavily involved in it, he says something which leads to all of us joking about something, cracking up about something. We spin off from that.
Yeah, but they start with Sean. 9 of the 12. There's only 2 that definitely don't begin with Sean. Only one doesn't include him at all.
That's true.
Well, I will tell you this for the hate the Mraz bit haters.
Tell us
Friday,
this.
Number 15 that will play was voted in the top 9 by 2 people on the show. Doesn't involve me at all. And 3 of us, including DA, didn't even have it in our first 4 out. But because of its high ranking by 2 people, it climbed into a first 4 out. And that doesn't involve me. So if you were not a fan of involving me, that could have been one that others could have helped out at the committee instead of sitting there being played on a Friday.
And I can say that I had that one on my list in my top 12. And part of the rationale was it was not a Sean thing.
Mm.
I can specifically say that.
As I can see this month, the tension's going to be high whenever we play these and we argue over where they
like
fall.
A vote against Notre Dame for still being an independent.
The amount of stuff we argue about, nothing gets the blood boiling like the 12 DAs of Christmas.
It starts on Thursday with the first of the first 4 out. Cannot wait. It's going to be amazing. All right, standing by, final headlines of the morning. Mr. Andrew Bogish, Bogeyman.
Guys, Lamar Jackson inexplicably bad during Sunday Night Football. 3 interceptions over 5 throws in the second quarter. A career-high 4 total, but he also made an amazing play to backpedal away from the rush and find Mark Andrews for a third-quarter touchdown. That's Lamar, says his head coach, John Harbaugh.
He wants those plays back. He's mad about him. He's a massive competitor. Yet he doesn't let it take control of him, all right? He's able to push it aside, and he's able to go play the next series and give you great football.
The Ravens survived the interceptions to top the Browns on Sunday Night Football 16-10. QBs had lost 41 in a row in throwing 4 or more picks. Baltimore atop the AFC this morning at 8-3. The Packers joined the Cardinals on 9 wins in the NFC with their 36-28 home victory over the Rams. Matthew Stafford a pick 6 for the 3rd game in a row, all losses for LA. Week 12 ends with Washington hosting Seattle tonight. Bob Stoops is the interim replacement at Oklahoma now that Lincoln Riley is headed to USC and quite literally at the moment taking off for LA. Last hour, the Sooners have already had 4 big recruits decommit, including 2023 5-star QB Malachi Nelson. Louisiana's Billy Napier is Florida's new coach. He turned down SEC offers in the past, but will replace Dan Mullen with the Gators. Napier, though, first wants to coach the Raging Cajuns against App State in the Sun Belt title game this weekend. And it is Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, Alabama, and OK State atop the new AP Top 25. The new CFP rankings released tomorrow night. Free agent starter Kevin Gausman has made his choice going to the Blue Jays, $110 million over 5 seasons.
Mm.
Rangers are signing second baseman Marcus Semien and former Rockies starter John Gray, and the Marlins add former Brewers outfielder Avisail Garcia. No drama at all last night as the Lakers and Pistons met again. No rematch of LeBron versus Isaiah Stewart, just James scoring and winning.
Here's LeBron, top of the key. LeBron moving left. Down the middle, powers to the rim, foul, and a bucket. And that gives the Lakers a little breathing room. Lakers 103, Detroit 93.
John Ireland, Lakers radio. LeBron, 33 points, 9 assists in the 110-106 final. On ice last night, the Maple Leafs got a 5-1 win in Anaheim. November, the best month in team history, 12 wins. Just 2 losses. The Philadelphia Union outlasted Nashville SC on PKs to reach the MLS Eastern Conference Final. They now wait on New England or NYCFC. Their game's tomorrow. Real Salt Lake took down Sporting KC yesterday 2-1, joined Portland in the Western Conference Final. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back on the show, advanced analytics, do you consider this time between Thanksgiving and Christmas to be, quote, fat season?
Chubbo.
We ask super important questions around here.
Buttermilk Ranch.
And then we'll get to your epic fail as well this morning here on the show. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
Do you consider the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, quote, fat season? 80% of you said, yes! Studies show that people eat more at the holidays for a variety of reasons, including stress, guilt, and skipping meals. Guilt?
I think it's like the guilt that it's sitting there.
So not guilt that you're not spending enough time with the children or buying them the gift that they want, or you're not thoughtful enough with your wife. It's just the guilt of we have all these leftovers and we can't throw them out.
Yes, that there's 5 gingerbread cookies sitting on this table. I need to have 4 of them.
Guilt. Wow. According to a poll 2 years ago of 1,000 Americans, 37% said pumpkin pie is their favorite holiday snack. You would not catch me part of that 37%.
No, me neither.
When relatives ask for clothing size for a holiday gift, Mraz can't answer because he doesn't know what the month will bring. If I were to ask you, okay, I want to buy you something. I want to buy you a shirt there, big man. I want to buy you a shirt. You wouldn't just say, hey, 2X, it's a safe bet.
Yeah, 2X would be a safe bet, but I oftentimes find myself in March back to an XL, but then back to a 2X the moment football season starts. Buying clothes for me becomes very difficult, and it's an anxiety situation. So I just ask for toys.
And you do you still submit a list to your mom?
Yes. Yes, I did. I did. The big gift this year was new weed whacker / edger.
Mid-30s, father of 2.
Yeah.
Still sends a Christmas wish list to his parents.
Yeah, she texted me, what do you want for Christmas? I sent her a list of like 12 things. Yeah.
Daniel Jones bobblehead.
Well, it was
PS5.
You know, Giants throw.
Weed whacker.
Yeah. It was an edger. It was a new outdoor stereo system. You know, the normal things people ask for. NHL 2022 for PlayStation.
New house.
Let's get to your epic fail. Apparently, my headline, Soggy Frank, for Frank Reich's play calling, was a big miss.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
This is open season then for the listener. What do you call a hot dog that's unappetizing? A mushy hot dog? Yeah. I couldn't think of it either. And I'm like, what's a bad hot dog?
a stadium dong right to the face. I think you would have been better off going with the burnt play there.
Burnt Frank.
Yeah.
I'm David Shepard with your CBS Sports Radio update.
Burnt Frank. Okay, Burnt Frank is better than Soggy Frank?
I don't think Burnt Frank is good by any means. I'm not trying to tell you if
now,
it's good.
Now, Reich's play calling was soggy yesterday.
Excuse me.
Was it?
Okay. It was kind of...
Huh? Again, who's referenced need... play calling
what?
Is soggy?
Right.
It's okay just to say I had nothing. This is what I had.
I am admitting that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to tell you.
No, you are. This is what you sound like me right now, where you admit something and then you go, but his play calling was soggy. Like, that's something I would give you.
I gave you all three credit. I said, no, all three of them are better than what I had. I just couldn't think of what the proper way to describe an unappetizing hot dog was.
There's no turds here.
The story is that Frank Reich blew it.
It is the story of the game. But, I mean, again, you could have played with the Colts. Carson Wentz still had a bad turnover. I mean, you could still talk about how Frank Reich blew the game while having a better head nod.
Frank's red nod is good.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's really
good. That's the best one. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you. What about Frank Flunked?
Ah, waka waka!
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Flunkfurter?
What?
Dude, get this man a hot dog. Just eat one and move on.
Hard knocked? Hard knots?
Hard knock worst?
The worst experience I ever did.
At the plea.
You are really just fat and hungry for 4 days here.
Seriously.
How about a piece of pie, you lard ass?
Chubbo.
Smoke yourself a dong, a stadium dong, and get past this.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Drew suggests, what about Gone Franken?
Instead of Gone Fishing?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little...
That's
I,
not good.
I laughed at
that's
first.
That's not good. Craig suggests, how about Frank's a lot, coach?
Ooh.
Ooh. Wordy, like but good.
It's a little wordy. But Frank's a lot would work, I think.
Yeah.
Or no Frank's.
Frank's for nothing.
Frank's for nothing!
Oh! Oh!
That's the winner!
Too wordy.
Man!
Well, luckily the Colts are still sticking around the playoff run here.
Yeah, you can have that one.
Oh, man.
Damn.
That's so good. Frank's for nothing.
It's good. That's good.
Oh, jeez.
I think we need 11 p.m. conference calls on Sunday nights with Bogus.
Oh,
what about 5:30 a.m.? How about that?
Oh, God, that was good. Cigar City Capo tweets, what a return from the holiday weekend. Couldn't have asked for a better episode of the Mothership to go along with my birthday and breakfast frappuccino. Hashtag happy being alive day. Right back at you. Happy birthday, happy being alive day. That will do it for us here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, Mike Golic is going to join us on a Trash Tuesday. So be here, be good, and be good to one another. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.